Welcome, boys and girls. It's another exciting adventure. I think this is our 11th week doing this, Mahabharata. Hi, Bo. So today is a very, you know, is the okay. Is the volume up enough? I think it's a little. Yeah, you know, today is really emotional adventure because today we're going to talk about the gambling match. And this is like one of my saddest stories, I think, of the whole Mahabharata. Last week we told the story, and they had the Rajasuya, and Shishupal was killed. And that's about where I ended it. And so after the Rajasuya and the Shishupal was killed, Duryodhan went to visit the palace of the Pandavas, which was built by Mayadhanava, and it was an amazing palace. It had all kinds of architectural features from the celestial world, the human world, and the demon world. But on top of that, it had other things too. Like sometimes there was a wall; it looked like it was made of glass, but it was actually you could walk through it. In other places, it looked like there was a you could go through, but it was actually solid. In some places, it looked like there was water, but there was no water. And in some places, it looked like the floor, but there was water. So, you know, Duryodhan, he was walking around and going through this palace and looking at all the things. And he would do these things, you know, and he'd think he came to a door and walk right through it. And then, bonk, hit his head. And different things like that. And then Bhima would chuckle when he saw that. And Duryodhan, he couldn't really stand that at all. And then, you know, there was the most famous incident is when he's walking along and he thinks it's solid ground, but it's water, and he falls in. And then he gets covered with water. And now, this is a little something, but Krishna actually encouraged everybody to laugh at him. Because Krishna wanted the war to happen, because the whole point of his incarnation was to get rid of these kings. So he had to do it some way, which was through the war. So he had to incite that war. Well, you know, we're not in the sampradaya of boo-hoo-hoo, I'll give you a flower and peace everywhere. And no. Krishna, he wanted to kill those demons because they needed it. And when you hear about what they did to Draupadi, then you'll understand why they needed it. In Duryodhana, he fell into the water, and Krishna got everyone to laugh at him. And then Yudhisthira, he felt very sad. He was very humble, so he got the clothes and gave fresh clothes and all kinds of nice stuff and gave it to Duryodhana to try to pacify him. And so Duryodhana was there, and then they were leaving. And Duryodhana, on the way back, he was so sad. But it wasn't just because he fell in, it was because he saw the wealth that the Pandavas had. Because it was his job to take stuff in. And the demigods came to the Rajasuriya and gave things. The Varuna had conch shells filled with Amrita and all kinds of amazing things that they were donated to the Pandavas. So Duryodhana saw all this and he became very envious. You were going to... Yeah.
That's when you were fooled by these things.
Oh, if you had an envious... okay, you were asking what was the feature of the things that you couldn't see?
The
shadow. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, the...
Not everybody that entered fell into these tribes.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the feature of the shadow itself?
Well, the thing is that the Pandavas knew where everything was. As far as I know, I don't know about anything about an if you haven't. I've never read anywhere, but that's an interesting point. If you heard it in a book, okay, the discussion is because there's people at home, they can't hear when you guys talk. You were wondering why it is that some people wouldn't fall into the traps and some people would. Well, I know for a fact that the Pandavas and I suppose all their servants knew what was what just by the fact of living in there. The way that I've always understood it is that the Pandavas knew where all this stuff was, but Duryodhan didn't, and I guess they didn't tell him, and so he kept on, you know, messing up. But if anybody knows anything about something where it's kind of like a booby trap, like where if you have like a mind, like if you're envious and then this thing will happen to you, then if anybody knows anything, then I'm willing to listen. But so you have heard that. Well, I haven't read that, but I'll see. I mean, I can look. There's the Puranas is very vast. I just got about 7 or 8 of them, and I've been reading. So Duryodhan was Duryodhan was envious of all the wealth that the Pandavas had, and all the things they had, and he wanted it all. So he was morose, and actually, he was contemplating suicide. See, when you have a desire and you can't fulfill it, then that's usually when people commit suicide. When you have a desire, like when you really want something so much and you can't have it, it's just like nothing will make you happy. They tried to give him, his father could see that he wasn't happy. So he tried to do things to make him happy. They would play music for him, they would give him whatever he wanted. But it was like worthless. There's that envy. It's like, you know, it's a funny situation in this world, but the external things don't really affect us as much as what's in our mind. What's in there in the first place. It's like, sometimes, have you ever seen, I'll give an example. Let's say two people are sitting on a bench in a park. And one person, they look at the sun and they're saying, oh, wow, this is very nice. The other person says, I hate the sun, you know, it's getting in my eyes. And then another person is saying, oh, wow, look at the happy people. Look at the kids playing. This is very nice. And the other person says, man, they're all happy. I'm not happy. So external things, they don't help to satisfy us if the mind is already messed up. Yeah, turn the light back on. Okay. So Duryodhan, they tried to do anything to make him happy, but he was just so envious he could not be happy. So Shakuni said, you know, Shakuni was a big gambler, and the first time that, you know, Bhishma went to try and take Gandhari to marry with Dhritarashtra, Shakuni was playing chess. So he always had some game. He was always playing some game. Shakuni said, you know, I have these bones, I have these dice. And these dice of mine, they are made from the bones of my father. And actually, they can do whatever I command. If I want him to land on a certain number, they will do it. This is a special feature of these dice. And I can always cheat and win with these dice. So he said, whatever prowess that the Pandavas have gotten, or whatever wealth, whatever, we can take it for ourselves. So they invited the Pandavas to, Duryodhan had them build a gambling hall. And then he invited the Pandavas over. Now, one thing you have to understand is after the Rajasurya, Yudhisthira asked Narada Muni, he said, you saw all the signs. He said, you know all signs, because there's a certain skill in the Vedas where, because, you know, everything, not a blade of grass moves without the will of Krishna. So if you can read the signs of what's going on, you can see what's going to happen in the future. Like, there's all the twitches on your body, and the movement of birds, the movement of trees, and the movement of the fire while the jug is going on. Like, if it rains before the jugya or during the jugya, it means that the priest did some mistake and the gods want to put the fire out. But if it rains after the jugya, then it means that the gods enjoyed it and they're giving blessings. So that's some of the things. I read actually in the Narsimha Purana that if you try and do any kind of thing, any kind of religious thing in the Kali Yuga, then it's considered perfect because nobody tries to do religious things. So if you give a little bit of endeavor, then it's the gods consider it to be perfect. Because, you know, religion is so rare in Kali Yuga. And they also said that the extent of the suffering on the earth will be to the extent that the Yuga Dharma is not practiced. So the more that we practice the Yuga Dharma, the more happiness there will be on earth. But as the Yuga Dharma is practiced less, more and more suffering will be on the face of the earth. So that's the little thing about jagyas. And so chant your japa, everybody, please. We got to save the world. Okay. So Narada Muni said, you know, I saw the yagya, and it looks to me like there will be a great war. So Yudhisthira, he was worried. He said, Narada told him, he said, it looks like there'll be a great war, but after that you will be king for many years. So which is...
He was talking
about the Rajasuya, what he observed. So Yudhisthira said, you know, the cause of war is disagreement. So I will always do whatever the Kurus ask of me. That was the vow that he took. If they ask me to do something, I will always do it, because the cause of war is disagreement. So he thought he could, you know, fight the tide of this war. He wanted it to not happen. And sometimes you'll see this when people make predictions. They can try and avoid it somehow, but still, it will happen. Some things are meant to happen. If free will was true, then no one would get in car wrecks. Everybody wants to live forever, but nobody does, you know. So we only can desire, and Krishna makes everything happen. So the Kurus said, come, we invite you to come and gamble. So Yudhisthira unwittingly caused his own destruction by trying to avert the war, because he said, I will come. Now, Bhima was smart. I'm not saying that Yudhisthira isn't smart, but Bhima is more practically smart. Yudhisthira was very idealistic, but Bhima was very, you know, practical mind. So he told Yudhisthira, don't go, they're going to try and cheat you, I can just sense it. And Yudhisthira said, no, we must go, I don't want to cause war. Yeah. Yeah, he got his father to ask. That is an important point to mention. Dhritarashtra was the one who asked. And because of Dhritarashtra's insistence, then Yudhisthira followed, because it was he always listened to elders. That was one of his dharmic things. You know, if you read the Mahabharata, you run into situations a lot where even Krishna is telling Yudhisthira, Krishna told you to steer to lie because it was in their best interests. So sometimes it's good to follow the rules, but you can't follow blindly. Too much attachment or non-attachment to the rules causes disturbance. So this is one example. So. Oh yeah, that is a. Yeah, no, I know. We can lie only if Krishna directs us. I know, Dharma is very important. That is true. Yeah, we can't say that. No, I know. There's too much lying going on. There's too much adharma going on in the world. There's way too much adharma going on in the world at this point. And too much cheating and too much just horrible stuff. And we don't need to emulate that either. So they went there and they were playing the game, you know, and they gambled many different things. Now, some people say they were playing a game of chess, but I have never read this. Some people were playing a game called Chaturanga. This is what they usually have in the pictures, but they don't say anything like that. Basically, they were playing a game where they'd roll the dice and whoever got the right number was, then they would, because he would stake. He would say, I will do this. I say, I will. So one thing they gambled was a bunch of horses that were Gandharva horses. So then Shakuni would roll the dice, and then he'd say, I have one. So it was a matter of gambling and getting the right number. So that was the kind of game that they played. The dice was rigged, and he kept on winning. And so Shakuni didn't have money, but Duryodhan had money. So he would use the money to back up Shakuni. So they kept on playing, and he kept on losing. They played again and again and again and again, and Yudhisthira kept on losing again and again and again and again. And eventually he lost everything. And Shakuni said, you can stake something else. You stake, do you have anything else you can stake? Because you might be able to win something back. So then he gambled away his brothers too. Then he gambled away all their weapons. Gandiva bow he gambled away. Anyway, the whole time this is going on, Bhima was angry. Bhima was so angry that it was like they say it's like he was fire. It's like he was on fire. His eyes were like red. They became red like fire, and his whole body was like starting to, like, you know how when something's hot and there's like those waves of heat come off of it? He was like that. He's so powerful, and he's just trying to control this anger. His whole body was giving off this heat. And so then, they did different things. They gambled away his brothers. And he said, well, why don't you, he gambled away himself. He gambled away his brothers. Then they said, gamble, you said you still have Draupadi. They really wanted Draupadi. So he said, you still have Draupadi. Why don't you gamble her away? So then they lost Draupadi. So Duryodhan sent a servant to get Draupadi. No, he sent a servant first. And the servant, and she chased him away. And then they sent Dushasan. She wouldn't believe him. She said she thought he was crazy. She just, she chased him away. She's a Chaturani, she's tough. One time she punched out Jarasandha, and he was trying to take her away. He knocked him flat on the ground. So this servant, that was a small fry. She's like, get out of here. So they send in Dushasan. And she wouldn't go. So he grabbed her by the cloth and by the hair, and they dragged her into the assembly. Yes?
She was
on her side. Yeah, that's also true. It was very offensive. Yes, she didn't want to go. She didn't want to go in front of everybody. So they took her in there, and she was, she saw her husbands. They had all their clothes were taken. They were just sitting there in like lungi, and they just, they had no, deprived of everything. And she said some cutting things. She's like, "What's the use of Arjuna's bow, and what's the use of Bhima's strength? Their wife is being dragged in front of all these people and being abused." So, yeah, well, no. Well, they did gamble away, but they couldn't do anything to stop her. She knew, but they wouldn't stand up and fight with the Kauravas because Yudhisthira was holding them back. Now, when they dragged Draupadi in there, Bhima was so angry he was trying to lunge, but he had to listen to his older brother. And Yudhisthira kept on trying to keep him back. So Bhima turned to Sahadeva and he said, "Get fire." He said, "Yudhisthira's gone mad. Those hands have touched those dice, so I'm burning his fingers off." So he told that to Sahadeva. And Sahadeva went to get the fire, but then Arjuna was also Sahadeva's older brother. So he said, "Listen, just calm down. Bhima's going crazy." Everybody was going crazy. Now, Dronacharya and Bhishma, it isn't like they didn't like that. Well, Dronacharya, he was quiet because he had a paid position. And Bhishma, sometimes people are quiet because sometimes people see evil, but they know that they're in a nice situation. And they don't want to give it up, so they just keep their mouth quiet, which is pretty bad. That's why Bhima wanted to kill Drona. And that's why he was actually very happy when Drona was killed. The thing with Bhishma was that he actually was given, that he might have spoken, but Duryodhan fed him boga. Duryodhan fed him food which should not be eaten. He mixed bad things in with Bhishma's food, so his consciousness was not at the best at that point. Bhishma disclosed that on the bed of arrows to Draupadi. And this is an important point that we need to mention. Also with Bhishma, I was going to cover each one of their sins. And now Dhritarashtra, he was too attached to his son, but Bhishma, he would have spoken. Now, you know, for 50 days at the battle, Bhishma was lying on those bed of arrows and speaking very high philosophy with Yudhisthira. And at that point, Draupadi, being very honest, and, you know, she said, you know, you can talk so much nice philosophy, but when they were dragging me in that assembly and trying to strip me naked, you didn't say anything. So where's your philosophy then? Kind of cutting. Draupadi was very cutting. So then Bhishma explained that they had mixed unappropriate food in with the food of Bhishma, and that's why he didn't speak. But he said, even so, he said, I've been lying on this bed of arrows for so many days, and I felt the pain for all these days, and I thought about it, and I looked at all my lives for many lifetimes in the past. He had that kind of knowledge. And he said, I have not done a single sin. So I asked Krishna, why? Why am I suffering like this? And Krishna said, because you did not speak when Draupadi was abused, even though he had that boga. So there was some sin there, even though that, you know, he made that excuse. But because he didn't speak up. They say in the Veda, if you know that something bad is happening and you don't say, then it's as bad as doing it yourself. Yeah, you got a grudge. They didn't say, they don't mention. They just said it was things that he shouldn't eat. So they probably put who knows what.
Just the fact, the answer to that, just the fact that he ate at Duryodhan's table, that's why Krishna wouldn't eat at Duryodhan's.
Oh, it's because they ate at Duryodhan's houses and the food that he made was bad. But I remember they gave him boga and they couldn't offer it either. So I don't know what he ate. Who knows? Yeah? Gagash?
But basically, the bottom line is he's eating
at Duryodhan's house. And Krishna would not eat at Duryodhan's house either. He refused. He ate at Vidura's house and he ate the banana peel. And he preferred that. Of course, that was, you know, that's a whole other thing. It wasn't like they fed him banana peel, but that's the thing with Krishna. They said that they had real opulent food for Krishna. But Krishna, he'd rather eat simple food with Vidura. So, Dhritarashtra was too attached to his son, who was spoiled. And he wouldn't lay down the law. He wouldn't do anything. You know, Duryodhan was crazy. And he couldn't control him because he was the sin that Dhritarashtra had was that he was too sentimental. Oh, he's my son. He can't do anything wrong. Oh, you know, it's just a little problem. You know, people get too sentimental when they know that sin is going on. Even though there's a sin going on, they get sentimental. Oh, that can't, you know, that is not good either. So they all had their, you know.
Bodily attachment.
Emotional attachment, too. Too much sentimental. So these, you know, they all had. But Vidura, you know, there's one thing. I didn't really understand Vidura too much. I asked one devotee. I said, "Who's your favorite character?" And they said, Vidura. I said, why? Because he's very learned? And they said, no, it's because he spoke up. He's the only one that did. So Vidura, he spoke up, and he said they were all crazy, and that they need to stop this whole charade.
Well, that's why actually they stopped.
Actually, the reason they stopped was
Yuyutsu.
Yuyutsu was the reason they stopped. Because Vidura spoke up, and because he wasn't a full-blooded Kshatriya. So Duryodhan said, we don't have to listen to you. He said, even if a man is, because even though he lived in the palace, he didn't have much personal wealth. So Duryodhan said, we don't have to listen to you. He said, because those who have wealth, they make the rules. He said, even if a man has greater knowledge, if a man has wealth, all people will listen to him.
So
Yuyutsu spoke up on behalf of Draupadi. But this was after, so they were speaking, and then, so then this is when the Maha Aparad happened. So Draupadi said, you know, she asked Bhishma, what is, you know, is this dharmic? And Bhishma said, the ways of Dharma are subtle, we don't know. And so then she said, I'm the chaste wife of these men, and you cannot, you know, treat me this way. So then Karna, this is why Krishna did not like Karna. Karna stands up, he said, chaste wife? He said, you had five husbands. You're nothing but a whore. You're fit to be stripped naked. Anyway, she was very beautiful. They also like that. So they asked, so then Duryodhan, this is when Duryodhan, he showed his thigh, and he slapped his thigh, and he said, Dushasan, you strip her naked, and you have her sit on my thigh. So then Dushasan went to grab Draupadi. So then now, you know, this is an interesting thing in itself also. Sometimes, this story is very intense, you know. I mean, this is like about as bad as it gets. But even when it gets as bad as it gets, we can still turn to Krishna. Because think about, we're fortunate in that sense. Because people that don't know about Krishna, don't know about Krishna. Who do they turn to? They got nobody to turn to. And that makes it a million times worse. Because when you don't think there's anybody out there to turn to, it's even worse. That's why so many people commit suicide. But when it is at least, you know, in our life, I mean, it can get bad. But at least we got Krishna. And, you know, Draupadi fully surrendered to Krishna. They were grabbing, you know, this is the story, that they were grabbing Draupadi's sari and they were pulling. But she was trying to hold with one hand. And Krishna was watching. And he didn't save her until she let go with the other hand. And she fell both her hands in the air. And just gave up to Krishna. So then they were pulling the sari and it was unlimited sari. But there also was bad omens all around. And that scared everybody. They're very superstitious, you know. They know about these things. So there was bad omens all around. Dhritarashtra was scared. But Yuyutsu, he stood up and he made him stop. He said, you stop, stop. And so he said that Draupadi, he's the one who said that a person that sold himself into slavery can't sell their wife. He has no owner. And yada, yada, etc. So then when they saw these bad omens and they saw this miracle, then Dhritarashtra got a little sense knocked into him. So he actually said, Draupadi asked for me, he said, I'm sorry. Well, actually at this point, Bhima stood up. And he vowed. He said, I vow that I will break. He said, Duryodhan showed his thigh to Draupadi, and I vow that I will break that thigh. And he said, if I don't rip out the heart of Dushasan and drink his life's blood, then I will go to hell. And then he said, I vow to kill Duryodhan and all the sons of Dhritarashtra for their arrogance. And actually, there was some other Kshatriyas in there. And they started to kind of like he spoke the way that he should have. they actually started to like, you know, they didn't applaud in those days. They would slap their arms, makes it sound kind of like that. So they all kind of agreed with him. His words were true, you know. It's a Kshatriya spirit, so he said these things. And so then Dhritarashtra was scared, because, you know, Bhima isn't someone you want to mess around with. So Dhritarashtra said, I'll give you boons, Draupadi. We're very sorry. So then she said, I want my husbands to have all their weapons back. So they gave him the weapons. She said, I want them to have all their chariots back. She said, okay, you have the chariots. She said, ask another boon. So she said, I want them to have their city back. So then they had all that stuff. And then they went back. They pretty much got everything. And so they went back to where they were. And Duryodhan was sad again. And he somehow managed to convince his father they should gamble again. And Yudhisthira somehow said okay. Yeah, no, it was very shortly thereafter. Duryodhan said that if he didn't request them to gamble again, he would commit suicide. So because of the bodily attachment that Dhritarashtra had, he requested them to come again. So they went again. That's what people say.
Actually, that's what
Yeah, he had a weakness for gambling. Yudhisthira had a weakness for gambling. So they went.
Well,
Kshatriyas are supposed to, if they child, it's part of the thing that you go to Swarga only if you can't go into the city of Amravati unless you face all your challenges. So that you can never turn your back from a challenge and go into the city of Amravati. So gambling is a challenge. So they played again, but the stakes were a little different. In this case, it was that they would have to go into exile for 12 years, and then the 13th year they would have to be incognito. And if they were discovered in the 13th year of exile, then they would have to go again for another 12 years and so on and so forth. So that was a way that, okay, we won't kill them and get rid of everything. We'll just get them out of here, get them out of the way and let nature take care of it. That was what they were thinking. So then they did it, and the Kauravas was won. So then they left again into the forest. So that's the end of the Sabha Parva, actually. The Sabha Parva talks about how they built the...
Where was Krishna?
Well, Krishna was, at the time, Krishna was fighting with Shalva. Shalva was this king. He had a... I'll tell that story. I might as well. So Shalva was a king, and he had... One thing, I just want to say one thing. See, Draupadi was the wife of the Pandavas, but she also was the princess of Panchal. So when they did that, they really couldn't have done that because her brother, I mean, she's still a princess. So when they insulted her like that, there was very, you know, actually it was illegal what they did. I mean, of course it was wrong. And one other thing that I want to mention is that sometimes people... Sometimes I've mentioned about why I don't think that Karna was so good and, you know, why he deserved to get killed by Arjuna. And, you know, this is a very touchy subject matter because many people think Karna's a hero. I mean, I'm talking about, not talking about devotees, but some people. They think Karna's their hero, you know. And actually, Krishna, he always brought up that he called Draupadi a bad name and that he and Karna suggested that they disrobe her. And so I will mention this. And these people, some of them will say, and this blows my mind, but it lets you know something about degraded consciousness. These people will say, oh, well, you know, she insulted him. So then Karna has the right to say that.
Previously?
Yeah, they say that they use this excuse that you know, because they use this excuse of this, you know, mythology, you know, this, I don't even know if it happened, that she said, oh, I don't want a sutta to shoot. So basically that she, you know, insulted him. So does that give him the right? So if a girl scorns you, that gives you the right to rape them? Does that make logical sense? No. But that's a degraded class of intelligence or person. That's a degraded class of person that they think, oh, if a girl scorns you, then it's okay to rape them. I mean, anyway. Yeah, some people like Karna, but I mean, you know. Yeah, I know. That's even more of a mystery. What? So, Gargaj, you were going to say something? Well, they were going to practically, I don't know what, once they did that, who knows what they were going to do. They always call it, they always refer it as the raping of Draupadi. When Krishna says that, so maybe he knew more than, who knows how far they were going to take it, but that's what they, who knows what they wanted to do. But so this is, let's get back to, so Shava was a king. He wanted to fight with Krishna, but he knew if he's in a fight with Krishna that he couldn't do it just on his own. So he did very, very heavy tapasya to Lord Shiva. He did it. He had the mala and he was chanting, and he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't sleep, wouldn't drink. And he's sitting there chanting Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, meditating on Shiva. He did that for a year, and when he was done, he had a sacred fire going at the same time too. And he at the end of that, he took the ashes from the fire, and that's how he broke his fast. So then Shiva, he actually came out of the fire, and he said, I'm pleased with you, what do you want? So he said, I want a Vimana. It's so powerful, it can go anywhere I want. And there's has yakshas that drive it, and powerful, you know, yakshas for fighting, and it has all kinds of weapons. So basically, he wanted this, you know, powerful weapon, so he could invade Dwarka. So Shalva, he went to Dwarka with this Vimana, and there was all these yakshas in it as well, and they were kind of piloting it, and then it had all these weapons, and it was. Could shoot things like lightning and molten metal and all kinds of stuff. And so the people, all the Kshatriyas in Dwarka, they went out and they were shooting their arrows at it. But then Krishna, he also was fighting. The Pradyumna was fighting also with this weapon. So they had special weapons back in those days. And Krishna was shooting his arrows and he was killing the soldiers. So Shalva, he did something and it looked like the Vimana disappeared. So then Krishna, he grabbed one arrow and he chanted the mantra and the arrow, it went to wherever it could hear the sound of the people. But they're just breathing. So then they all started screaming also. Because the arrows, they're hitting them. So this is, you know, and then, you know, he came and so the Shalva, you know, he got some powers from his austerities. So he caused this illusion to happen. So it looked like he had Vasudev and he was talking to Krishna and he said, I've got your father. I'm going to, you know, kill him now. So then he killed this illusionary Vasudev, and so Krishna was, he was bewildered. Well, they say that he was sad, and then he started thinking, how is it that he got Vasudev? Yeah, momentarily he was sad, but then he started thinking, how did he get him? How did he get Vasudev? Because he's guarded by all these people. So then he realized, and so then he got his, he had a club. So then he started, he found where Shava was, and he cracked him right in the collarbone with the club, and he killed him. Yeah, Kamadaki. So then, so that's what Krishna was doing while Draupadi was being disrobed. But he still managed also to, you know, he's God. I mean, come on. he managed to rescue Draupadi in his own way. So then Dhrishtadyumna came there and he was angry. So the Pandavas, they left and they went to live with the sages, which is what they like to do anyway. And they obtained a plate that if they cooked food and put it on the plate, and they could feed people, it would never run out until Draupadi had eaten. It was given them by Surya. And they say that that plate is still somewhere, but it's kind of secretive. But they say it still exists, and they keep it in one temple. It's a plate. So Krishna arrived, and so did the Pandavas. I mean, so did Dhrishtadyumna. So he was angry. He said, "You know, you're my sister, and they defamed you." And he said, "I pledged to, you know, send all the Panchala army for the fighting." But Bhima kept on saying that he wanted to fight with the Kauravas right then and there, and Draupadi said that as well. And Arjuna and everybody really, they didn't want to sit in the forest. So Bhima used a certain kind of interesting logic. He says they say that a day in hell is like a year. He said, it's like we've been in hell. So it's been 12 days already, so we should go back. And Yudhisthira said, no, we can't do like that. And Bhima kept on trying to give these different philosophical arguments, and Yudhisthira would always get him to be quiet by saying, "You eat too much food. So you eat too much food. So you don't know."
Going back to the plate, he worshipped the sun god Yudhisthira, but the whole purpose of getting this plate was because he had Brahmins.
They had that plate by worshipping the sun god, and the plate. The whole purpose of having it was that there was tons of Brahmins that followed them, and they would also just have visitors, because they would go to a place and then people would want to see them and encourage them. So they would, but they didn't have the facility to feed all of them. So they had this plate and they could feed everybody, and then because it's their duty as Kshatriyas to feed everybody. So Krishna also said that. So Draupadi, she got very emotional, and because she remembered. Oh, yeah.
One question:
During the insult of Draupadi, where was Drupada and Dhrishtadyumna? Well, that's because she was married; that she stayed with the Pandavas always. And so they were actually just back in Panchala. Her family, her brother and father were staying back in Panchala kingdom. And so they didn't know about all this, that this was going
to
happen.
So later they got to know.
Later they got to know, and they showed up when they were there in the forest. Now, yeah, well, her brother came. Well, the question is, you know, someone might say that if she's been, where's her family? And so her brother came, and they wanted to fight right then and there. Dhrishtadyumna wanted to fight at that moment. He was pretty much saying, we have this army, you know, the Panchalas, they had two Akshahinis. And they said, we'll just go over there, we'll fight them now. And they were willing to do that at that time. And Bhima, he said, "No, we waited long enough, I think. Let's go." So, but Yudhisthira said, "No, we have to wait." He said, you know, they have a lot of allies right now. And he gave some reasons, political reasons also. They have many allies, and we don't have so many as them. And if we go, our position really isn't so stable. And so we have to, you know, bide our time. It's a strategic thing. So, Arjuna, well, there was a big demon that came off. There's a few things that happened. Duryodhan really insulted Vidura. And Vidura decided that he would go. So he just left. And he started just traveling. He didn't like the whole situation. So he just decided that he would start traveling around with the Pandavas. And while he was gone, he was traveling with them, and it started to become evening time in the forest. So they saw one big, huge light in the trees. And they started coming towards them. And in the evening is actually when all the twilight time is the time of the Bhutas and the Rakshasas. Yeah. So if you see a light in the dark, don't go towards it. So they saw this light, and it started coming towards them. And actually what it was a huge, huge Rakshasa. His name was Chimera. Yeah. Chimera. K-E-M-I-R-A. No, that's Chimera. That's C-H-E-M-I-R. I think it's Chimera or Chimera, but it sounds like Chimera. It sounds like Chimera. It kind of sounds like it. But there's this Rakshasa. It was K-E-M-I-R-A. Chimera? I don't know. There's probably some way of pronouncing it. I know. In Greek mythology, they have a Chimera, which is has the head of a lion and the wings. But this is actually a big Rakshasa. And he was carrying an iron rod, and due to his siddha, he the end of it was glowing like ray of the sun, because he heated it with his tejas. So he was walking around, and he saw the people, and he said, "Do any of you know a person named Bhima? He has killed my brother, and I come seeking revenge." So then Bhima said, "I'm Bhima." Yeah, he said, "I'm Bhima." So then he threw the burning rod at Bhima, actually. Bhima, he just knocked it away like a kid, you know, throwing away a stick. Just knocked it away. So then they started to wrestle. And Bhima, everyone was watching, actually. They were all terrified, but because it was a huge Rakshasa. It was bigger than Bakasura. He was actually his older brother. So he was trying to fight with Bhima, wrestling, rah, rah. And now while Bhima was doing that, he would like push the Rakshasa down on the ground and hold him down with one hand. And then he would look at Draupadi and smile. And well, he was kind of making a show of the whole business. And he was showing off to Draupadi. And then at one point, he looked at the Rakshasa, and his eyes started getting like fire. And he ran at him, and he just started pounding him in the face. And he grabbed him by the hair and was smashing his head in the ground and spin him around, and just eventually he just ripped him limb from limb. And the brother said, "Well, why did you get so angry all of a sudden?" He said, "Well, I looked at him, and then I thought I saw that he kind of resembled Duryodhan, and then I remembered everything that Duryodhan did, and then I just went crazy, and I killed him." So he's kind of, you know, that was the way he got rid of his anger. He was so angry from everything that happened. Yeah, it was his anger management. So Vidura said that Vidura told us to, you know, eventually they got Sanjaya to come, because they were. Bhishma said that he would go if Vidura stayed away any longer. So they didn't want to lose Bhishma. So then they sent Sanjaya, and he picked up Vidura, and he asked him to come back. Now there's another incident where He just decides to go permanently. But this was just a temporary thing. So he came back and he told Duryodhan, he told Dhritarashtra this. And Dhritarashtra, he got scared. He said, Bhima, you know, so angry that he single-handedly just wiped out this huge demon. And he did it because he was so angry at Duryodhan. And so that's... They traveled some more. They came a point. There came a point that Arjuna said, "There's these." Krishna came, and he told Arjuna that there's these weapons that, you know, the gods had offered that you could have these weapons, and they would teach you. So you should go on. You should go up to the Himalayas and you'll find a way to get to Swarga, and then you can get these weapons. So Arjuna left and he was walking up the mountain, and he met one person. It was interesting looking person. He had skin that was kind of reddish colored, and he had golden hair. And Arjuna said, "Who are you?" He said, "I know how to get to Swarga. You go to this mountain and you do tapasya there. And if you do it for a long enough period of time, then Indra will send his chariot and pick you up." So Arjuna said, "Thank you." And actually turned out that was Indra. He revealed himself to be Indra, and then he disappeared. And then so Indra was telling him how to get to Swarga. So Arjuna, he went on top of that mountain, and he was doing his austerity. And so first he would only eat once a day, and then he would eat once every 3 days, then he would eat once a week, and then he would eat once a month, and then he just gave up eating entirely. And he would just chant also, and he would take bath 3 times a day also. And he wasn't eating, but eventually the gods were happy. And Duryodhan, he heard that Arjuna was doing this. So he had one friend that was a demon. So he said, you go and you disturb his tapasya. You kill him because he's weak from doing all this austerity. Now this one interesting thing is that, you know, Karna, after that display of arms and all this stuff, you know, Karna was kind of like the Kuru big gun, but he didn't do all the stuff that Arjuna did. Like Arjuna was doing all this tapasya and getting all these weapons and fighting with all these and living the hard life. And Karna was kind of living high on the hog, so to speak. And so that's why Arjuna was a better fighter, because he had to undergo all these things. So they went to, so this demon, he became a huge boar. And actually, there was one farmer who lives about a mile away. He said he saw one huge boar. So there's more wild animals. He said it's the devotees' fault. He said we don't hunt. So all the wild animals know that it's safe here, so they come. But the farmer said he saw a boar that was 700 pounds. So I guess they're out there. They have big tusks, you know. So this demon, he became a big, huge boar. They're dangerous. You know, they'll charge. There's no way you can stop them except with a spear or some kind of pole or something, because they weigh so much, you know. But this guy, he was a boar. He was like 30 feet tall. And he was charging at Arjuna with these huge tusks. So Arjuna, he got his Gandiva, boom, and he shoot the arrow, and it hit the boar and killed it. But then he goes to look at the boar, this huge boar, and he sees two arrows. Actually, Arjuna's arrow couldn't have killed that demon. The demon had a special boon, but Shiva was there, and he shot. That was the second arrow. And that, because Shiva shot the boar, then it was dead. So Arjuna sees this hunter. So Arjuna says, "Who are you?" He said, I'm the hunter. And he came in, and he was kind of strange because he's surrounded by beautiful women. And Arjuna says, "Who's this guy?" He's just living in the middle of the woods. He's 100, but he has all these beautiful women. Have a Shiva, because he's Purusha, so he always has Prakriti. So the Arjuna says, "Who are you?" He says, I am a hunter, and I have killed this boar." And Arjuna said, I shot him. See, there's two arrows. We both did it. He said, "Well, I claim it as mine." Arjuna said, "No, it's mine, because he's a Kshatriya. He's not going to back down." So they're both saying, "Mine, mine." So finally, you know, they said, Arjuna says, "Let's settle this, you know." So they start shooting arrows at each other. And the guy is matching everything that Arjuna can do. And then Arjuna looks and his Gandiva bow is gone. And then he looks and the arrows is gone. So Arjuna grabs a sword and he runs at him. And he hits him with the sword and the sword it absorbs in him. So then he has one club and he runs at it and hit him with the club and the club just goes in. He doesn't know what to do. So he starts, you know, he starts fist fighting and they're fighting and it's like he's hitting into solid rock. And he's like, "Who is this person to just come out of the middle of nowhere?" And so he can't think, because he challenged the gods, the devas, and he beat them. So who is this? So he started thinking a minute and he kind of like ran away and hid. And he made a little lingam out of mud real quick, you know, with his hands there in the dirt. And he grabbed some flowers and he's looking over another side. And he threw some flowers on the lingam and then they landed on the guy's head. So he said, "Ah, it's Shiva." So then he came over to see him. And then actually the hunter revealed himself to be Shiva. So he said, "Arjuna," he said, "you've made me very happy." He said, "No one else on the face of the earth could have fought with me as hard as you have. You have completely satisfied me in battle." He said, "So I will give you my Pashupata Astra, which is the universal fire of destruction." Talking about powerful weapon. So he says, "This is the Pashupata Astra." Not that one. So this is the fire of destruction. So he gave to Arjuna. And then when he received that weapon, then all the other devas, they came. And Malati, who's the chariot driver of Matali, is the chariot driver of Indra. He came with Indra's chariot and they took him and brought him up to Swarga. So I think that's about as much as I'm going to say today. But so this Saturday at 7, I'm going to tell Ramayan stories. Because Saturday is Ram Nomi, actually. So this Saturday, I'm going to tell Ramayan stories for an hour or maybe more. I don't know. Okay. Haribol.